I'm Alex Hirsch, and I once ate an entire Entenmann snack cake in one sitting by myself.
I'm Mike Miranda. I don't have a funny answer. I was a creative director on the show.
So, carpe diem. I think this episode, you know, Freaky Friday type episodes,
yeah,
body swap episodes are such a trope. I think this was another episode that our producer Rob said, you can't do this episode. It's such a hokey trope to do this episode. You know, we were late in the season. We were running on empty a little bit.
Yeah.
It's sort of like running a TV show. It's sort of like you're a mother sow, and each episode is your piglets, right?
This has gone in a bad direction.
And you only have so much brain milk for the piglet episodes.
No.
And so you're just like, all right, I can't feed all these piglets. This is a really good metaphor.
This is a disaster. I'm going
to
leave.
The point I'm trying to make, which is very clear, I think, is that you got a lot of episodes. You only have so much love to give all of
them.
Yeah,
totally.
And you kind of have to portion your love and say, all right, this episode is our big barn burner, dramatic, status quo changing, life or death episode. And this is a goofy episode where the characters just swap bodies.
Yeah. We try to do our best within that framework, but there definitely is like a sense of like, well, this isn't going to be an A+, but you know, we're going to try our best anyway within that framework of like,
we're very hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
Specific things in this episode inspired by life. I obviously had a real twin sister, my sister Ariel. She would bring friends over. She would have sleepovers. It was this bad. I'm sure for them it was wonderful. But we were trying to think of a way. So as we've said in other episodes, every episode of Gravity Falls needs to marry two things. It needs to be a combination of some magical weirdness, high concept idea, and a relatable down-to-earth simple character conflict. And we started with the idea of body swapping, but we were trying to figure out, okay, if Dipper and Mabel swap bodies, it's going to give them a chance to have a newfound perspective on each other's problems.
Yeah.
But that needs to center around some specific conflict, or else we don't have an episode.
Yeah.
And it was figuring out this idea of it might be hard for them to share a room.
Yeah.
They, typical odd couple, you know, one of them's neat, one of them's clean, one of them's et cetera. They're using this for different issues.
Totally.
And maybe we can use body swapping to resolve their argument about living together.
Yeah. And something that was like important to us overall for like the main series was that just really giving a lot of attention to Mabel and Dipper's relationship, that was like the core of the show a little bit. And we wanted to like test it in different ways. And ultimately, you know, kind of just push the tension of that and see, you know, what the characters are going to, I don't know.
we're trying to marry those two ideas. We got a lot of notes on this scene. Standards and practices were not happy of Mabel and friends waking up in a state of hungover-esque disarray. They kept asking, like, why are they so tired? Why do they seem kind of delirious? And I'm like, because they were up all night eating pizza.
Yeah,
the pizza had glitter on it. You know, there'd be times where it wasn't an adult joke.
Yeah, totally.
And the censors would find one where there wasn't one.
Yeah, well, because that's kind of their job. I mean, that's sort of a thankless job.
They're trained to see enemies in the shadows.
Yeah, because there's no benefit towards letting something go through.
Yeah, they're not incentivized to let us get away with stuff.
Yeah.
So figuring out, you know, it seemed to me like Dipper's a character. We were trying to think of a way that Dipper could be obnoxious to Mabel even though he's not loud.
Yeah.
And like, self-satisfied smug whispering to himself at 3 a.m. felt really...
Clicking a pen nonstop. Because Alex always had a pen in his mouth, and it was typically a Sharpie. And I would say I've seen 5 or 6 times when the Sharpie exploded in his mouth while he's like pacing and speed talking about like the stakes in this episode. Like, we just gotta figure out the stakes. I mean, you know, and then like black ink running down his chin.
Yeah, there's a lot of Dipper's mannerisms. The bags under his eyes, the chewing on pens, that are definitely... The crew put some of me into Dipper there.
Yeah, totally.
Where did baby fights? What was this? We just think babies are funny. I think babies kept showing up.
Yeah.
So this is you know, in Headhunters we see a mystery room open up in the Mystery Shack. In this episode we just did the same thing.
Yeah.
We thought it would be okay as long as Sue said, like, another room. What are the odds? I'm noticing that this is happening twice, which makes it okay.
Which you'll hear right there. And also, you know, this is a thing, obviously, where we're always looking for opportunities to put canonical, like, oh, this is eventually going to be, you know, Stan's brother's room or something. And we're trying to put little clues in the episode, but... I think some people online figured out the whole mystery from just this little clue. I'm not sure which one it was.
Yeah, this episode was the one after this aired.
Oh, these glasses.
There were people who figured out almost our entire series arc.
Yeah.
We thought we were being clever, and we underestimated the, you know, the crowdsourcing brilliance of the hive mind of the internet, putting all of their minds together and trying every option until they figured out what was going on.
Totally. And it was was the thing too, where it's like, you know, we keep referencing how hard it was to make the show in the commentaries and stuff, but it was like, that was something that really kind of made it worthwhile in these later episodes, where it was like, we started seeing the episodes being released into the world, and people were like doing fan art, and they were figuring out theories and stuff, and it was like, it was so like...
so rewarding.
It was just like putting gas in the tank, because we're like, we were just tired, and we started feeling crazy, like, is this even... will anyone like this? Have we gone insane? And it was just nice to see the... like, right when the show came out, we were just checking the, like, refreshing every fan community every 10 seconds, being like, oh my god, people actually like this thing.
Yeah, we had no idea if anyone would even care.
Yeah, totally.
And as the season wore on, and we started, like, running out of sanity and brain cells, it really helped us when... because I think we had written the script for every single episode almost before the...
it wasn't every episode. It was like the first 10.
It was like
something.
The first 10 we had written before a single one came out.
Yeah.
And we had no idea if people were going to care or not.
Yeah.
This whole bit with suck up points, we needed to fill the first act somehow. Stan talking to himself sometimes is funny, sometimes doesn't work. I'm on the fence about that.
I thought that one was funny. Because also sometimes it's just, again, it's just like us being a little bit delirious in the editing room. And, you know, Alex just riffing for 12 minutes on a line that should be 5 seconds long and me cracking up and getting an outsized version of how entertaining that might be.
I got to give a shout out to this episode's director, Joe Pitt, who boarded this sequence. He's also the original designer of Dipper and Mabel and many of the main characters. And he went from designer to director in season one. And he took this sequence and did a really great job. Dipper pacing around the room. The fact that they use the static electricity, they slap hands, and that's the moment of contact. And these expressions are really good.
He also figured out a nice language to make how does Mabel Dipper feel like, you know, how do these two characters feel
visually
like they should.
What can we do about their acting? Like when Mabel's in Dipper's body, Dipper has this big Mabel cheek.
Yeah.
Mabel has these bags under her eyes, and her hair is a little bit more disheveled.
Yeah, totally. And there's a lot of good boarding, too. Matt Brawley boarded on this episode.
Yes.
Chris Sonnenberg boarded on this episode. Nikki Yang did some great stuff in this episode. I forget which, but she has some great joke later.
That beat where Mabel says, "What are these things?" and flicks the little hair poof on the back of their hair. Mario has those on the back of his head, and I told the designers to put them in all the Pines characters as like a family thing. They all have that thing. But it doesn't make any sense. I don't know what it is.
If I was you, I would totally lose the contest.
And if I was you...
and yeah, and all this acting, all this body language. You see, Mabel is now like holding a pen and chewing on it, like acting like Dipper. We were really trying to make their acting as distinctive as the other character as possible.
Yeah. And this suck up point thing, this is where the suck up thing paid off, because now they can
mess with each other's plans. It was a kind of tricky one to solve with how all those rules would work.
Mabel, if you like that omelet, you'll love this. A sandwich made out of rocks.
Candy rocks?
Regular rocks. Keep that up and I'll be giving your brother this
I like that joke.
Mabel as Dipper just going nuts was a lot of fun.
Mabel's gone bananas. Bing! Zow! Balow!
Well, this is getting weird.
Wait! Are you going to dock Mabel points?
Dipper should lose all his points.
Uncle Stan!
Waddles, you got it good, bro. You got no worries. I mean, nobody thinks it's cute when I lie naked on the living room floor. I wish I could be a pig. Yes!
Oh, this is the thing that Nikki Yang boarded and is totally delightful, like the acting on little Pig Seuss. This weird jokes like this is how I think that the body swap thing
paid off.
Yeah, we managed to make the that's great. that we managed to like
justify the trope.
Yeah, justify the trope. If we okay, how can we make it one step weirder than the thing
than what
you've
we're
seen
used to seeing? Well, and usually in body swap stories, the characters, like, they're not abjectly horrified. Like, and Mabel's like puking immediately.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
We had to go that far with it.
Yeah, totally. Well, because it is like being in your brother or sister's
It'd
body
be worst.
Would be beyond a nightmare.
Yeah,
like we're playing it for yucks, but It would be horrifying.
Hey, could I talk to my, sister for a sec?
This is a sleepover, buddy. No boys allowed.
Look, guys, I'm not really in a sleepover mood right now. One of my irrational girl mood swings, you know? Right? Don't we have those?
Come on! My mom's age-inappropriate romance novels aren't gonna read themselves. Ooh, Wolfman Bare Chest.
Ooh.
Really, I should probably...
Come on! You know you love it! My name is Gerard. I am a werewolf, creature of the night, but I am also a creature of passion.
Gerard is just so fierce.
What's going on, Dipper? Ah, you're at that creepy age where you spy on girls, huh? Guess it's time you and me had a man-to-man talk about the birds and the bees, you know?
I should really be going.
No way.
Stan teaching Dipper about puberty, also just like.
I love how detailed that drawing is. That's another Andy Gonsalves.
That's a Nikki Yang expression, making Dipper scream like Mabel with some weird wiggling hand. Dare I live out the cliche? But part of Seuss's character is that he uses, like, smarter language than he should.
Yeah.
Like, whatever the most sophisticated way is to say the dumbest thing possible. Also, a lot of people don't notice this, but as McGucket's rounding the corner, he's saying, McGucket, McGucket, McGucket! Like, that's how little we were trying with that scene.
We're chasing a talking pig!
My horoscope came true.
This was a tricky episode because it's a very there's not a lot of conflict, so we just had to have a lot of goofy nonsense happen in the middle.
Yeah.
That's why Seuss has a story and Mabel has a story and Dipper has a story and McGucket's chasing Seuss because he wants to eat him.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, because the episodes are 22 minutes long, it's like a typical TV thing, but you have little stories within the bigger stories to fill out the because as long as any story is turning or progressing, an audience could be interested in it. So if we didn't have enough material in our A story, we would come up with like, okay, Seuss is a pig. And Stan's teaching Dipper Mabel about puberty.
We could come up with a more sophisticated, dramatically relevant plot, or
yeah,
we got a B story where Seuss is a pig.
38 sequels!
No!
That's Carl Furlow as the voice of Grenda.
Wait, I mean...
No!
3, 4, 5. It's him!
I'm pretty sure this was your scene, right, Mike?
Yeah.
This
is Kevin.
My house has room for two.
Kevin has the voice of a robot.
Don't ruin it!
Sorry, I'm just laughing at this joke. it's like the incredibly Microsoft Sam robotic voice of the mystery date.
So we don't often get a look at the inside of the Mystery Shack, like all these different hallways and how they hook up.
They don't quite hook up.
They don't quite hook up. We had asked the art director, Ian, to really come up with an original look for that hidden room.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to give Sean Jimenez, one of our background painters, credit for, I think he did the line art for this. And it's a really cool room. The door is strange and ornate and memorable.
Yeah.
It's all very kind of old and retro. This kind of shag carpet. It has a lot of character. It makes you very curious. Kevin's really important to them. Yeah. He never comes back to the show.
Yeah, no. Well, and that was the thing that we really pushed in the show, was like coming up with like unique visuals for like kind of every episode. It's why the show, one of the reasons why the show was so hard, because sometimes in shows like this, you know, every scene is in the house or whatever. But most of the time we were trying to come up with something new and exciting visually to look at. And it's why it made the show so challenging for the background team. But it's also gave them a ton of opportunity to do some great stuff, because the show looks amazing.
When our art director ended up winning an Emmy for art direction on the series in this season, like, they did such an amazing job. Like, is this some sort of
negotiation? I forgot this episode. I am loving Seuss as a Pig. Let's make a spinoff. Yeah, and he did amazing work. He deserved the Emmy.
Seuss's eyes there, you'll notice that his eyes are pointing in opposite directions. This is something that I was constantly trying to get in the show, is generally... I never wanted characters to look cross-eyed, because cross-eyed characters looked focused. I wanted their pupils to be either kind of centered so they looked a little dumb, or completely wall-eyed so they looked very dumb.
Yeah.
Because when I'm staring into space, I'm not focused.
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of a thought process thing. I would often kind of go over the storyboards and really pay attention to the expressions in the eyes, because that's where the thinking happens.
Totally.
And the less you're thinking, generally, the more you can indicate that with just the most wall-eyed expression possible.
Yeah. And that was a thing, too, that we were trying to avoid with the acting, was just like ever having the characters be like self-satisfied or like have that kind of half-lidded Garfield eye. Like there was a whole like sheet on all the board artists' desks, like, no Garfield eyes.
I had a thing about Garfield eyes. The character with the half-lids and like the smug expression, like, I'm smarter than everyone else.
Yeah.
You use it every now and then, but generally I try to avoid it.
Well, because because it's just such an unappealing... attitude.
Well, like, look at their eyes in this scene. Everything you need to know about these characters is in their eyes.
Yeah.
Like, that, you know, Dipper and Candy being super tense, Candy and Dipper being fake confident. Like, she was doing the Garfield eyes as a bit to act like a lame guy.
Yeah, totally.
Swap back in 3, 2...
Oh, go!
Come back! I want a deep...
And at this point, we were just having fun. We're like, all right, if you're gonna do a lot of the stuff we would talk about was, can you live up to the premise? If this is a body swap episode, we want to make the most of that concept.
Yeah,
we're never gonna
totally.
Do it again. Let's swap literally everybody we can get away with. Another subtitle gag.
Yeah.
Stan looking at the glasses there as the hint about his brother is something that a lot of people figured out.
Yeah.
It was a I don't remember that line.
Yeah. Well, I like the it's like, we really went nuts on this, because initially only two or three people were changing bodies, but it became so fun that we're like, let's have 1,000 people changing bodies.
That's a good design. McGucket's mustache now looks like Blubs's mustache.
Yeah.
Let's go bust some perps, Candy.
I always remember that line.
Yeah, Nikki Yang is the voice of Candy. She did a great job.
Yeah, essentially all we're doing in this scene is vamping.
Yeah.
We know that the episode needs to build to a point where Dipper and Mabel have a heart-to-heart conversation about their issues. We also know that we've got 7 minutes to fill, so that happened.
Yeah. Well, and also, for all the, for all the us being like, sometimes you let the episode go by. One thing that was always really strong about this episode from the jump, and I think it was Tim McKeown who wrote this episode, was that this moment with Dipper and Mabel actually having a sweet moment, and they miss each other, and that they had a good time when they were playing mini golf together, and her friends were destroying their mini golf course. Like, it was really sweet, and it made this episode, which is kind of a bunch of fun goofiness, like,
have a value to it.
Yeah, it gave it like heart and a little bit of meaning.
If you can feel like you're a little bit closer to the characters by the end of the episode, you know, you'll feel a sense of value.
Yeah.
That scene boarded by Joe Pitt, the director of the episode, did a fantastic job boarding that out.
Yeah.
This was also a lesson in writing for me, because, you know, Dipper and Mabel are inspired by me and my sister. But there'd be things where I'd say, well, that's not truthful to my experience.
Yeah.
Like, this episode ends with them deciding, oh, they do want to share a room, which is the exact opposite of real life. Like in real life, like the moment I could get away from my, I so desperately didn't want to share a room with my sister that I agreed to live in the laundry room. There, I lived in a very small house with only two bedrooms. Mom was in one. Me and my sister shared, you know, the other until like second grade or third grade.
Yeah.
And at, like at that point, I was losing it. It was a game of chicken. Who's gonna move out first? And I was like, I have a choice between sharing a room with her and literally clearing the washer and dryer out of the laundry room, putting a mattress in there. And so, like, this isn't truthful to my experience, but it felt truthful to them.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Dipper and Mabel are not me and my sister. They're this kind of, this experience that was the point of reference, but they grew into their own dynamic.
Yeah.
And this really works, this scene.
Totally.
Like, and you feel
the,
it.
The boarding on it is really A plus, too. Like, because you just see visually that, like, you know, they're empty, you know, they're like empty and alone, and
we're externalizing that internal conflict.
Exactly.
Like using the visuals to sell that. Why am I even out here?
I was like, anytime when we can have someone screaming in pain off screen, it's like we don't have to animate it, we don't have to board it, but it still gets a laugh, baby.
Well, and there's an old writing term called cutting through the treacle, where if a scene is too earnest or sweet for too long, we need Stan to get hit in the head with a glass eyeball and scream bloody murder in order to like not make it feel like we've gotten too corny.
Exactly. Yeah.
Best day of Seuss's life.